Sorry about the name confusion there. My name was Shayna Alex Lavaretta when I submitted for APHA, and over the summer, recently got married, changed it to Shayna Alex Charles, and you know, you don't want to change your airplane tickets or anything before you fly from L.A. So, still Lavaretta on my badge and everything, but from now on out, it'll be Charles, so now you know who I am. And I'm a little bit of a different person than these two colleagues next to me, and God knows I love their work and support it, but I don't do it myself. I do research with the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research, mostly with our California Health Interview Survey. I do work with the health insurance section. I'm director of health insurance studies. I have been really excited to watch all of this unfold. You know, we were talking about it for 10 years before it happened, and then it happened, and now we get to watch it be implemented, and it's a really wonderful thing. And also, one of my big focuses is racial and ethnic disparities. And please watch for my new State of Health Insurance in California report that will be out, God willing, by the end of December, middle of December or so when we break, that will have our data from our new survey, and we'll have a racial and ethnic disparity section on health insurance and access to care. So hopefully you'll go to our website and look for that, sign up for our listserv. We'll have our CHIS 13-14 data as soon as possible, but we're still out in the field collecting data on what's going on out there. So the data I'm going to be presenting is from other people. I'm going to talk to you about what's going on in California as an avid, objective, nonpartisan, but very strongly supportive observer. Honestly, in California, you know, it is nonpartisan to be strongly supportive. We were the first state in the country, once the Affordable Care Act was enacted, to pass legislation to build the exchanges. And one of the reasons it went so quickly was because our then Republican Governor Schwarzenegger was a very strong supporter, and right before the end of his term, he signed that on his way out of office. So it's very much a bipartisan issue in California. We are all very strongly supportive of enrollment. And so I have no relationships to disclose. I'm an academic. We don't have financial relationships. Unless we're in biotech, which I'm not. So no relationships to disclose. So what I'll be talking about, let me get that out of the way here, is data from our Covered California website. So it is coveredca.com. I wanted to put that in front of you in case you wanted to go check that out after the presentation. I'll talk about data from our 2014 enrollment period. How did our Latino enrollment measure up? Where were the weak points? And then we'll talk about challenges for 2015, what's going on with renewal and outreach. And this is so hot off the presses that some of it was embargoed until last Saturday when open enrollment started. So I was on a call with sponsored by Families USA, a great partner in outreach and enrollment, listening to Peter Lee, who was our executive director of Cover California, talk about what they're doing for the upcoming year. And it's very much a focus trying to increase the Latino enrollment. So a success story in 2014, question mark. Because yes, we were the most successful state in the country in enrolling people. We did have a very strong success story with the Latino community, but definitely a question mark because more can be done and will be done. So this infographic is from Covered CA themselves. This is what they put out in April. And now I will use this little arrow here. You can see here they have a pie chart of enrollment by ethnicity, knowing that this is something that people were very interested in right from the get-go. When they did their initial projections, they did look at by ethnicity, and this Latino enrollment of 28% total actually met their projections. Kind of. It met what was called the base projections. That actually came out of my research center, the CalSIM project. The base projections, meaning if you didn't do really a lot of language cultural competency and you didn't do as much outreach as you could, this would be the enrollment you would expect to get. But if you added in more cultural competency, more outreach, putting up a Spanish language site and not just a Spanish language application, which, by the way, they ended up doing the application 3 months late, then you would beat this enrollment by quite a bit because, honestly, in terms of the uninsured, the proportion of uninsured, you should beat this enrollment by quite a bit. So when you hear Covered California say they met their projections, they did, but they met the lowest possible projection they could, okay? You can see we did have very successful enrollment just in that private. This is just the private marketplace. This does not even include Medicaid enrollment. We had 1.4 million people enroll. Sounds like a lot. Well, the fact is we have 6.5 million uninsured in California before all this began. We have the largest uninsured population in the country. So yes, it is a lot. Yes, it's a huge success story. No, it did not cover nearly everybody. We still have a remaining population of uninsured. And this enrollment pathway, I want to point this out here. Self-enrolled means the website, okay, 41%. And agents and in this community enrollment down here, this is what they were saying in April. These numbers changed over time, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit for challenges for 2015. And it turned out for Latino enrollment, that self-enrolled number was certainly much lower. So let's look at the language of individuals enrolled, and this was the first open enrollment period to March 31st, even though they extended to April 15th, this just goes to March 31st. And you can see the Spanish language was a significant population, people eligible for the subsidies and then unsubsidized, for a total of about 151,000 people in California signing up through the Spanish language application. And again, this is just for your private insurance. So they did get it to get to work eventually. But again, it wasn't posted nearly early enough, and this could have been much higher. You could also see that, you know, I know this panel focuses on Latinos as a very important group, obviously, but I do want to point out that we do have a significant portion of other language as well. And then moving on to our Medi-Cal enrollment, that was nearly 2 million people just in the Medi-Cal enrollment. And you can see here by race, ethnicity, the Latino population was higher here, and then the Spanish language was about 15% there. And I'm moving through all this quickly because I want to establish a baseline to talk about, honestly, what really is the more interesting stuff to me, which is the challenges that have happened and what we're doing for 2015. So this is where we're starting from in 2014. What will 2015 bring? Well, we've got to work out what went wrong in 2014 first. These are still ongoing as of today. They have a problem with narrow networks. And by narrow networks, I mean networks that are so narrow that when you try to call a doctor who is listed on the website as being covered with Covered California plans, they will tell you, no, this, I, as a doctor, I'm not going to take this plan. So it's been very difficult. There actually have been lawsuits now charging insurers with fraud. And the reason I bring this up here in this forum is because what that does is it creates a culture of incompetency feeling, and it not only adds to the idea of, well, immigrants might get targeted, but also if Latinos go and enroll, that it's a government program that doesn't work anyway, right? And that kind of cultural idea is out there already, and so it's something that is a problem for 2014 to convince people that this insurance that they're signing up for is a good and useful product that they'll be able to use. So the Medi-Cal backlog is the next humongous issue that is still being resolved from 2014. I just showed you that they enrolled 1.9 million people as of April, right? Well, that was the people who signed up. As of May, they still had 900,000 of those 1.9 million not receiving their card, not actually receiving coverage. And some of those people were on from October, and by May, they still hadn't received their card. Down to now, currently, as of last week, 170,000, which in other states would be a significant enrollment all on its own. For us, it's the residual. It's the smaller population. That's how big things are in California. So I actually, I teach at Cal State Los Angeles, which is a Hispanic-serving university. It's called an HBC. I'm trying to remember what that stands for. But my student population of public health students there is overwhelmingly Latino. They do not get health insurance for being students there. And there's been a huge and very successful effort run by the chair of the Department of Public Health to enroll their own students in Covered California, many of whom are eligible for the Medicaid expansion because they make about $10,000 a year, right? They're college students. So I had one of my students come up, and I presented this in class, and she came up to me afterwards and said, yeah, I enrolled in February, and I didn't get my card till October. 6 months. I'm sorry, that's going to be longer. 8 months. So it's really, first off, that is illegal. there's a lawsuit that has been filed because the law says 45 days is the maximum. So technically speaking, it's illegal, even if it's just because they don't have the staff and the ability to be able to process this huge influx. But as a government agency, they're required now. If anyone wants a good job, they're looking for people. They need to hire more staff to be able to enroll all of these people. And the 170,000 cases that are still being resolved are the toughest cases. You know, now it's down to not just, well, we had problems enrolling them because we have so many people we're trying to deal with, but now there's actually problems with the applications that they have to deal with. And then we had this big problem in 2014 with cultural competency. I mentioned the slow rollout of non-English materials. It took a few months for those non-English applications to be available. And this engagement with cultural competency is now going to be a much bigger focus of the navigators and the entire Covered California board moving forward. And Peter Lee is the executive director employed by the board. So looking ahead to 2015, this is what they have said. They said, we did about as good in the Latino community as we did in the African American and the Asian community in terms of percentage of people who are eligible that are enrolled. But that's not nearly good enough, because the fact is the uninsured rate in the African American and Asian communities is much lower than it is in the Latino community. And there is some portion of that that's because of the undocumented population. There are about 1.5 million undocumented people in California who are ineligible to enroll. That's by our California Health Interview Survey estimates. But this definitely isn't good enough. They need to do much better among the Latino community and trying to enroll people who are eligible. So they are changing their approach in 2014. This, I think, is a real credit to Covered California that for their first website attempt, they realized that you can't just put a Spanish language application on there and expect people to be able to go to it. They just launched a new website last week. It's much more streamlined. It no longer looks like a website, but now it looks like a mobile phone site. You know what I'm talking about? So many websites now, when you go to them on computers, they don't look like they belong on a computer. They look like they belong on a mobile phone. That's what they did to Covered California. It's just three boxes now. And when you click on Spanish, the entire thing becomes fully bilingual. So it is, from the beginning now, completely bilingual. And one of those three boxes now says, find local help. Because the biggest lesson for open enrollment 2014 is that the Latino population does not want to go to a website. They had the lowest rate, it was in the teens, of enrolling through a website. Okay, they don't want to do it. They had the highest rate, 48%, of enrolling with in-person assistance. Much higher than any other ethnic group. So, and I'm hearing some uh-huhs and some nodding over here, and I heard that in your presentations, and it's definitely something that they learned. And I'm happy to say that they integrated for this next enrollment period, and we'll see, hopefully that will work. So the other example here, or the other point here that's really important to make, is that according to their own surveys, and Peter Lee, I put a citation there because I felt like I really needed to tell you where that data came from, they did their own study, calling people, their own survey, of asking people, are you worried? And they found about a third of Latinos who themselves have legal status were worried about other family members. So we heard some data about people who are undocumented being worried about enrolling their children, and that's certainly very important as well. But this is pretty new, that someone who themselves was eligible and would be, you know, wanting to sign up, if they had another family member, he said usually a spouse, that was not of legal status, that they were worried about that other person getting in trouble because they'd have to be reported as part of the household. Now, here's what I thought was really interesting. They also mentioned that they were going through government agencies to reassure legal residents. He actually said, so we talked to the Department of Homeland Security and had them send a letter to people reassuring them that it wouldn't be a problem. I heard that, and I thought, if I were somebody that was worried about this, a letter from the Department of Homeland Security would be the scariest thing possible. But I have not seen that letter. I don't know what it looks like. So I don't. All I heard was just that top line statement of they worked with immigration to reassure people. I'm not sure that's the way to go. I think probably more like local people or Promotora's approach might be a better way to go than going through actual government agencies to reassure people that the government agencies aren't going to come after them. But they're at least working on it. They're aware of the problem. And then in 2015, they called it doubling down. I don't know if it's actually double, but it doubling down on outreach and enrollment in the community level. So instead of focusing on a beautiful website to make people go to this beautiful website and enroll that way, they are focusing much more heavily on going through the communities. 220 grants to local organizations for this year, including groups. AltaMed is a My center actually just gave an award to UltiMed because of their community work. They are entirely a local, grassroots-up help organization that has been created that certainly is very trusted in the Latino community in California. Mi Familia is a community organization. And then California State University was cited by Peter Lee as one of the premier examples of not only signing up Latinos, but young Latinos. You know, there's so much talk about, can we even get young adults to enroll? Can we get them to understand that they need to have coverage? You know, can we reach that population? But California State University is a great way to do that. And so there's been a really shining effort, and they actually did exceed their enrollment projections through that mechanism. So that is my email. I'm not the only Shana at UCLA, but I was the first to sign up because I've been there so long. So I'm just Shana at UCLA.edu if you want to contact me, and that is our website. And thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing some questions for all three of us now.